out of people.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up to the sunlight with your windows open. Don't hold in your anger or leave things unspoken. Wear your red dress, use your good dishes, make a big mess and make lots of wishes. And have what you want, but want what you have. And don't spend your life looking back. Turn up the music, turn it up loud. Take a few chances, let it all out. 'Cause you won't regret it, looking back from where you have been. It's not who you knew, not what you did, it's how you live. So go to the ball game, and go to the ballet, and go see your folks more than just on the holidays. Kiss all your children, and dance with your wife. Tell your husband you love him every night. And don't run from the truth. You can't get away, no, no. And just face it, and you'll be okay. Turn up the music, turn it up loud. Take a few chances, let it all out. 'Cause you
everyone, and thank you so much for joining me on this Friday edition of Exposed But Never Forgotten. And today is Friday, January 18th, 2013. And we are here this evening to talk about life, to talk about history, to talk about God, and how all of these things can work together in a person's life to create the best possible possible scenario that we can have in life. And I think that's all probably what we all want, is to be able to have a situation where everything can work out the best that it can possibly work out. My name is Michael. I'll be here with you as your host for at least the next hour, maybe longer. And we will return right after this. I just need a little more music here. This is a great song. Please enjoy, and we'll be right back after this musical message.
Putting on the wrist.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
The night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Some God. But who is God, really? Where is God, really? And why should anyone put their faith or trust in God? Those are some of the questions that we will be talking about this evening. As we look around America and the world today, we see many, many, many problems. Inflation is continuing to rise. Among other things, and we have the gun control issue, obviously. I seem to have a caller here from 804. Area code 804. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Hugh. How are you this evening?
Very good, thank you. I just came across your show, and I'm standing in my truth with God and looking to be solution-oriented for our future and creating a whole new paradigm. Since the beginning, it's been all control, conquer, and divide, but if we can go to a place of unconditional love, which is not that difficult if you just start with yourself and ripple that out, we can have a beautiful future.
Well, you know, you are exactly right. And when you become a spirit-filled Christian and you allow the Holy Spirit to work within you, it is an incredible thing to see what it is that He can and will do in your life when you pray to Him on, you know, a daily basis, you know, even several times as I do. It's just an incredible thing, and so many people have just thrown God out of their lives, many Americans especially, and God is not going to force anybody. I'm sure you know He's not going to force Himself upon anybody. It is a person's free choice as to whether they would like to have God in their life or not. Would you not agree?
Exactly. I'm a Christ-conscious person, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and help me, and I have Him as my business partner now, too. So I'm an unlimited well of creativity as well as a creative, intelligent force, very powerful combination. But I leave anybody to their own belief systems, but I say you can't go wrong by just inviting Jesus to come and help you and see where that goes, and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Exactly. As I was talking about earlier, you know, many people have taken God out of their life and they think they can do it themselves. I don't know what it is they think that they can gain. And there are even many people out there right now, Hugh, that are saying, you know, that maybe we should, you know, rise up against our government and let them do what they are doing to us because they are destroying America. You know, is this what we are supposed to be doing as spirit-filled Christians? Are we really supposed to be rebelling against the government is a great question. You know, I personally, although I believe that, you know, we should be able to have guns, I believe in a lot of different things. I believe in our Constitution, okay? But I do not believe that we are supposed to be rebelling against our government. I don't think you can find that in God's Word, the Bible. And I personally use the King James Version of the Bible, but you know, in there, it actually states in several places, you know, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man." If you are going to, if people around America and the world are going to do what they can and try to do it on their own, God is not going to force Himself. He's going to let you try to do it on your own. But I can tell you, you will get a lot more done when you have Jesus Christ in your life. Throughout history, there have been many, many wars, okay? And I can tell you that there has never been a war that has been lost where Jesus Christ has been the center or the focus, or the people of that war were people of God. There has never been one. But we have had war throughout history. And it's one of those things that people around the world have been searching for a long time, is peace. Because of all the wars that we have had, all of the wars that we currently have going on all over the place. You know, maybe some people choose not to call them wars. You can call them conflicts. You can call them whatever you like. But we even have them in the United States now, within our own borders, although they are not wars, but they are conflicts. When you talk about the problems that we are having in our schools and such, all of these things are conflicts. And the whole thing behind this is that we need to get God back into our lives. We need the peace that only Jesus Christ can give us. And I can personally testify to that peace that I have from the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that peace starts with my relationship through prayer with God on a daily basis. And it goes with my family, it goes to my church, and hopefully it goes into my community, and it goes further and further along. And if Americans, if everyone that owned a gun, and they can keep their guns, I don't have a problem with that, but if they would just turn their life over to the Lord and choose to be righteous in God's eyes, they would see what a difference He would make in what they are trying to do, because man cannot fix man's problems that are happening here every day. Only God can fix man's problems. What do you think, Hugh?
I agree. I've been a gun owner in the past, but I'm at an age where I don't hunt anymore, and with God on my side, I don't care. You can have a gun pointed at me. If God doesn't want it to work, it's not going to work. So where are we going with all these guns? Guns kill. Love does a lot more than guns could ever do. So why not choose a whole new lifestyle? And it all starts with the individual. And if you are a more loving person, then you may not want to even think about taking your gun out for whatever reason you purchased it for, and just, you know, try that and see, because there's all kinds of stories, too. I mean, look at David and Goliath. That's an interesting story in itself, and there have been wars since the beginning, but they don't have to be. History doesn't have to repeat itself. And related to the government, I call for truth and transparency and to root out the corruption. And if that's a revolution, then I welcome that. But it's a peaceful revolution, but it's a solution-oriented revolution. It's not one where you have guns in the streets killing mob action, trying to take down people. These people were put into office by us. Let's not forget that. So they're an indirect mirror of what this country is. And that's what you're saying is so true. People have lost sight of the fact that if this is God's country, let's keep God in it and in the forefront of everything that we do. And that's where we really, again, have to contemplate and get into our own hearts and minds and work with God. I put it this way, that you have to get out of your head and into your heart, ask for divine guidance on a daily basis, And the other keys that people seem to miss is to always be in gratitude. Your circumstances may be horrible at times, but that may be because you have to learn some lessons and then to take actions. Don't talk about things. Take actions, because that's where you truly learn and progress from.
No, you're exactly right there. It's very obvious that for a lot of years, you know, God has been left out of the American way of life. We can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance any longer in our schools, let alone say a prayer for something, for our own country, for the well-being of our own country. You know, but as Spirit-filled Christians, we belong to what I like to refer to as a different kingdom, okay? The kingdom of God, okay? Because we are children of God. He is our Father. And we have a higher contract that is greater than any earthly written contract that is here on earth. And that contract with Jesus Christ guarantees our rights. And all of that can be found in the Word of God. It's so very, very sad to look around and see so many people that are trying to do things themselves. I want to say hi to a good friend of mine in the chat room here. So just give me 1 second. I apologize for that. There we go. Good evening, Rod. And, you know, some of the other things that we should be looking at here is many people out there as well, you know, are born again Christians. They are considered saved. They may or may not have been baptized, and they think, well, I'm all set now. I turned my life over to the Lord, and, you know, my suitcase is packed. I'm ready to go anytime, Lord, and that's all that they have to do. What they're really not looking at is everything that Jesus Christ has done for them. The love that Jesus Christ has for all of us, the patience that he has for all of us is incredible. The forgiveness that he shows us on a daily basis, because we are not perfect, although we should be striving to be perfect like God is. That is our ultimate goal, is to not just be saved, but to be more interactive with God, to pray with God. And when you do that, you will allow the Holy Spirit to come and live within side of your heart, and he will guide you and show you what it is that he wants you to do. And I keep repeating myself. You know, I've been doing research on global economics full time since 2006. I've been on Blog Talk Radio for 3 years, and a little over 2 months ago, I really, really started praying to God. I had, and I have had for some time, a lot of time on my hands. And I thought, well, I'm going to spend some time. The telephone call is free. I can talk to him 24/7. And I am going to spend some time praying and talking with God, having a personal relationship with God. And I did that, and it's incredible how he can work in your life, because I changed the format of my show. After talking about guns, after talking about bankers, after talking about wars, after talking about economics, and the list is very, very, very long. And if you noticed, I did not include politics. Oops, did I say politics? That's a dirty word. Politics is for sure. But I did change the format of my show over to a Christian show because I love my Lord Jesus Christ and I want to do something for myself and for him. I don't want to allow God just to do something for me, but I want to be able to share the love and the patience and the forgiveness that he has for everyone. Because God does love everyone. It's just that not everyone is a member of God's family. And those of us that are children of God, as he is our Father, should trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And we should not be leaning onto our own understanding of things. We should not be trying to fix what God can and would fix if we would just put our faith and trust into Jesus Christ. We would find out that he has the power and the love for us, and he would take care of that. In Proverbs 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will make your paths straight. And that is what people need to understand. And again, I have to say, you know, why are people out there that are calling themselves Christians, why are they, you know, surprised at what is going on in our world today with inflation, with killings, with all of this? All of these things are in the Bible. And you say, they are? And I say, yes, they are. They are signs of the times, okay? No one knows when the hour or day will be when the Lord will come. But we can tell you for sure that the signs are out there. And I have, as a good friend of mine said the other night on their radio show, you know, is this what we should be doing? You know, should we rise up against our government and not let them do this to us? You know, I get so much information every day. I get, you know, literally, you know, 100 emails a day. You know, did you see that? Did you see this? look what they're doing now. Look what they are doing. I get something on a cell phone. There's all of these things. And many of these people are Christians, and they seem like they are surprised at what is really going on in our world when they should not be, because I think we are getting close, although I do not know when, and I don't claim to know when Jesus Christ will return. But I do know that he will. I do know that God is alive and well. I can promise you that because he works in my life every day. And Hugh, you must see him working in your life as well, do you not?
Well, if I can share my full name, it might be interesting for your listeners to see who I am and some of the experiences I've been through in my life. And every time I couldn't handle something, I immediately put it in the hands of Jesus, and it worked out beautifully every time. And I've had some pretty bizarre stuff, which includes UFO, paranormal, and near death. My full name is Hugh, H-U-G-H, Traulsen, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy. And when you Google my name, you'll see various things. There's a blog, creativity777.com, which actually has a copy of a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy, as well as a very powerful poem titled Caring Sharing, which is in the President Ronald Reagan Library. And there's other information. I have a business partner who has a blog talk show, and he's Christ conscious like I am, and we're just doing amazing things, blessing people wherever we can. And his show is called Focus Change, Dr. Ed Maloney, M-O-L-O-N-E-Y, and he's got a website which is attractingabetterlife.com. There's an email address on there. I don't use email myself. I'm a global visionary, but you touched on economics before. If somebody had said to me what I know what my mission is a couple of years ago, I would have looked at them as if they're totally crazy. But what I believe my mission is to bring spirituality into global economics and combine it with unconditional love, making everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral, and forcing companies to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community. No small task, but a possible one with Jesus.
Oh, boy, that is an understatement there. I mean, if you look back at history, and history is the greatest teacher that we will ever have. But history can only be a great teacher if we as human beings are great students. And there are so many people out there that, you know, cannot learn and do not learn from history. Hugh, I have someone in my chat room here, and he would like to know what your name is again.
Yes, it's Hugh, H-U-G-H, and the last name is Traulsen, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. And again, we're very powerful creators, and what you're alluding to, too many people are focused on the material world, and they forget that we all came from spirit. You can't deny that. And we're eventually going to go back into spirit. 100 years is like the blink of an eye in terms of eternity. You can't take the toys with you when you go back into spirit, and you're accountable for every moment you spent here. So as we have come through this whole big fear cycle of 12/21/12, of the ending of the world, I was laughing all the way through that. I said, I already know when the world's going to end for each and every person on the earth planet, and that is when your mission is finished and God calls you home. The big question is, are you ready?
Well, I can surely tell that you have done your homework, Hugh. I'm glad to have you on here this evening to be able to chat with me. And I don't normally do this, but I do want to take just a few minutes here and read just a few of my favorite verses out of the Bible. And I only have like four of them here. This is from Matthew and chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. And it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel basket, but they put the candle stick on top, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And that's what the point that I am trying to get across to everyone is that although all this crazy stuff is going on in this world, we need to focus, we need to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I said this once, and I will say it again, the problems in the world, because we are all born into sin, are problems that are evil and are man-made, and man cannot solve man's problems. Only God can solve man's problems. And again, he is not going to force anything upon everyone or anyone. He just wants to be here with you. And if we would just give him a chance to come into our life and be able to, you know, share with other people as we are doing here this evening, you know, it's what we need to be doing. I gave up everything. I gave up all the research. Okay, I gave up, you know, a lot of research and information that I had on all sorts of global economics, including, you know, America and our government. And I'm not going to continue to share that information any longer, although I might touch on it a little bit here and there. The focus of what we should all be doing as Christians is we should be focusing on what we can do for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think if I look, I have one more verse here in chapter 5 of Matthew. Verse 26. I guess that is, or I'm in the wrong spot here. That happens. But we need to be spending time in this day and age with everything going on. We need to be spending our time sharing the word of God with other people. It is the most important thing that we can do. And I talked at the very, very beginning of our show about, you know, God being alive. You know, who is God? What is God? You know, many people, maybe they have decided that with all these bad things, well, why has God let this happen to us? Why is God throwing me out of my house? Why is God not giving me an income? if you throw God away, he is not going to force himself to be part of your life. You need to make that choice. Because God did love the world, and so that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I spend every hour that I have teaching economics, teaching government, teaching Agenda 21, what shall it gain me? Being a spirit-filled Christian, what shall I gain if I spend my time here on earth that I was given as a gift by God, if I give it sharing this information and spending all that time when I could be and should be doing something for God after all of the things that he has done for me, which are many, many things, I may add. I could do several shows on the blessings that I have received from God. And blessings are not always necessarily what you think they are. They're not always money or a new car or this or that, okay? Because many times God knows what you need before you even need it. You know, God has a wonderful plan. He's got an incredible plan for each and every one of us. And God loves everyone. He loves the New World Order. He loves President Obama. God loves everyone. But not everyone is a part of God's family. Until you give yourself to God and become a child of God, because he is our Father. But he is a very, very loving God. And you can say, well, why is there a God? Why? You know, why has God come and presented himself to us? You know? And to that, I would say, look in your Bible under John 10:10, which says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And blessings. Blessings is what you can expect when you show that you have faith in the Lord, when you show him that you trust him, when you talk to him and have a personal relationship with him. You know, it is so incredible. And, you know, many of us are, you know, most of us, you know, we are separated from God. The people out there that are asking themselves, you know, and we are separated from God because of our sin. And all of us were sinners. And even yet to this day, not human beings are perfect. There is no way. I'd like to share something that my brother in Christ, Doc DLB, said in the chat room here about something that I said a few minutes ago. Said God allowed Obama to be elected. It is part of his plan, whether we like it or not. His actions are mysteries to us. We actually have it very simple. Believe and repent and try to sin no more. It's that easy. It is that easy, Doc. And, you know, I would only add to that that we need to make an effort to do things for God, just as you are doing, what you are doing tonight here by joining me, and Rod also, and all of our other listeners. They are participating and sharing in the word and the love of Jesus Christ, and that is a huge blessing. Hugh, I'm going to take a break in a minute or so here. If you have something else, you're welcome to stay on the line. But if you have something that you would like to add, or I'd even be interested in knowing what type of business that, you know, you are in, if you can keep it on the short side.
Well, I'll let you go to a WordPress site and see, look around on that. It's my name, hughtrawlson.wordpress.com, and I'm just bringing forth some very powerful passive income strategies that are related to an organization that I'm an affiliate member of that's revolutionizing communications and business globally. It's a company called Talk Fusion. It's all cutting-edge video products, and Cisco Systems did a study and said by 2014 almost all internet traffic will be video. My last name already has global recognition in the food service field, so I'm starting with rolling out a passive income strategy geared toward restaurants that has no limit on the income potential, and you don't have to be a restaurateur. All you have to do is understand the strategy and introduce it to them, and if it's implemented correctly, it should make a lot more money than the whole restaurant operation itself and beyond. So it's quite fascinating what can be done through creativity and through working again with God, having Jesus as your business partner. So it's quite amazing.
Oh, yes. You know, absolutely. I agree with you there 100%. Jesus Christ is one of those things. There's not one word that I can say to describe Jesus Christ. I could say awesome. I could say incredible. I could say lots of different types of words. Maybe the best word I could say regarding Jesus Christ is you need to have him in your life. And I know that's not a single word, because I don't know that there is a single word. Hugh, I hope you'll stay with us. We're going to take a short four-minute break here. This is a great song for us, and this is called Circle, Friends, and all of you I consider to be my circle of friends. We'll see you in 4 minutes. Okay, we are back. That was Circle of Friends by Point of Grace. And what a great song that is. I have a great deal of friends here on this site, on other sites that are spirit-filled, born-again Christians that truly know the Lord and love him with all of their hearts, and they are surely my circle of friends. I have a guest on the telephone here. His name is Hugh, and I'm going to see if I can put him on the spot here in just a second and ask him a question. And, Hugh, I was wondering if perhaps maybe you had something in your life. I think you mentioned something about a near-death experience. Hi, Chrissy. That's my sister-in-law, Chrissy Covington, that just entered our chat room. Welcome to you. Hugh, you mentioned, I think, something about a near-death experience, but I wonder if you wouldn't mind sharing, you know, your testimony with us a little bit, because we would surely appreciate it.
Yes, I think, too, to get more of an in-depth story, because you don't have the time here for it, but when you Google my name, look for a blog talk show called New Prophecy Keepers, and I go over a lot of things in that show, but a month and a half after my wife died, I almost died. I had been working as a contract security officer. I was in a patrol car and I couldn't breathe. I called my daughter, who said, "Dad, call the police." It was on March 16, 2007, a Friday afternoon. They got me on oxygen and got me to the hospital, and I lost consciousness in the emergency room, and I was intubated where they stick the tube down you that not too many people survive. And when I woke up in ICU, I actually thought I was dying. And when I was waking up, I envisioned my head as a big black marble, and it exploded in a big whoosh into the universe of minute colorful particles of all different colors, reds, greens, oranges, browns, blues, pinks, yellows, and what have you. And then I opened my eyes and saw family at the foot of the bed, and I didn't think too much of it. I went through rehab and eventually relocated from New York down to Virginia, and the following Easter I was walking around for exercise, and something prompted me to check the calendar. And when I did, I noticed that I had lost consciousness on a Friday afternoon, came to on a Sunday. That's the time frame of Jesus dying and then resurrecting. I had mentioned it to some reverend type who said, "You're very special." I said, "I'm not special at all, but because I had that experience, I feel I do have a very special relationship with Jesus, and I do in that regard." And that led into other things, some paranormal stuff that's still ongoing, but you always will be challenged as you get closer to helping more and more people. You'll have more and more challenges, or but every time that I have a heightened awareness, I'll put it that way too, and that comes also, you can see things coming more clearly through your experiences and through being more aware and working with God, using the discernment, you get better and better at it. So actually the evil tends to run from me now because it doesn't know what's going to happen if it plays with me. And I've actually been witness to the fact that people that have tried to do some pretty horrible things have died. I didn't ask for that, but that, again, is not my decision. That was God's decision. I don't seek vengeance for people that have tried to harm me. I do what Jesus did when he was dying on the cross and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But if they're part of my story, that's going to come out. So again, people have broken laws, and that's on them, not me. If they did the wrong thing, they're still accountable. So that's where people have to really live their faith and be in faith, and not just look at God as someone that is somebody to blame when things go right, and to thank when good things come your way. No, that's not what God's all about. What you're here to, we all have a God spark in us. And we fan that and make it grow according to our personal relationship with God. And Jesus would not be happy with a lot of the churches today, too. And I say that because if the church is not truly taking care of the poor in the community the way Jesus did and blessing them, that church is not doing the right thing. So we have to start looking in our communities at these churches and really calling them out for the, and they're being controlled too now in some of these 501c's. I hear that they're being told by the government what they can and can't say, and that's not what Jesus is all about. In fact, he encourages people to be a doubting Thomas, investigate, and he will provide the answers for you when you do.
What a great testimony that is, Hugh. Now, do you think that experience, as it happened to you, changed your relationship with Jesus Christ and made it better? Or, I mean, did you even know Jesus Christ as your Savior before that? Or, and if you did that experience make your experience, you know, your relationship stronger with Christ?
Yes. All the experiences I've had, this has been a lifelong process, and all the negative experiences I've had when I chose to go to a place of love only strengthened me all the way through. Going back into my childhood, my mother was a supermodel, and I have documentable spirituality that can be seen throughout my whole life. My mother was asked and actually posed as the Blessed Mother for pictures at a chapel at Marist College. And you can Google eulogy for Brother Nihilus, N-I-L-U-S, Vincent Donnelly, D-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y, eulogy for Brother Nihilus Vincent Donnelly. It's a lengthy eulogy, but it's quite interesting. And toward the end of it, it describes Brother Nihilus coming into contact with my father and asking my father if he might know of someone who could pose as the Blessed Mother, which he did. Also, the church, and my wife's name is all over the place in my life, and that's something I tell people to do, is to go back, reflect on your life periodically, and evaluate your experiences, because when you see how you handled them, that can help you with your present. And my wife's name was Anne Elizabeth, and before Marist College was Marist College, it was called St. Anne's Hermitage. So there's her name popping up even before I knew her. The little Catholic church in Ashland, Virginia, where I currently reside, is called St. Anne's, and her name just pops up all over the place all the time. But the church we were married in is quite amazing. The website of the letters S, M like Michael, WA.org, SMWA.org. And when you go on that site and look it over, be sure to click on miraculous photos. To this day, whenever they have vigils and people take pictures, when they're developed, unexplained images appear on the photographs. It's quite fascinating. So, again, just having a heightened awareness, looking back over the experiences that I've had, has only strengthened me more and more. And that's something, too, that the creativity that I have, I'm just totally blessed with. I just love playing with my mind in many different ways, and especially being a connector, bringing people together to help them help each other and then bless mankind beyond that. And I empowered the word joy on January 1st, 2011, and I say there's a hidden meaning in the word joy, which you discover by creating a word from each of the letters in the word joy, and when you do that, you find the hidden meaning is Jesus optimizes you.
Well, that's great, because that is my wife's middle name, believe it or not, is Joy. So,
oh, wow.
That's great, and she is a spirit-filled Christian as well. But I did want to touch on one of the things that you mentioned about, you know, different churches and religion, okay? And I do not consider myself to be a religious type of person, okay? What I am is a spirit-filled, God-loving, born-again Christian. And I am born by God because I am saved by His grace. Because, again, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
That's exactly right, and that's how I am and my business partner, Dr. Maloney, is, so we're all in the same. And actually, Dr. Maloney puts it beautifully. He said there's really only two commandments. These other things, a lot of religions love to keep you in guilt and shame, but Jesus came to take away all our sins, and Jesus says basically there's two commandments: love God first, and then love your neighbors yourself. If you do that, you got it made.
That's definitely, a good part of it. I try to treat everybody in the same way that I would like, and hope to be treated. And although I don't expect it many times, it doesn't matter. If I can just show the love of Christ, maybe someone can be, touched in that. If we repent in our sins and, we confessed that and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can and we will be saved from our sins because we are all born into sin. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made into salvation. And you can find that in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And for those of you that may be listening out there in a different entity than in our chat room or via telephone, I would like to, we have about 25 minutes left here, offer up to you not so much my offering as it is an offering of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, to have Him become part of your life. And receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is something that is actually pretty easy to do, but it does need to be done, I believe, with sincerity. You need to do it because you want to do it. And it's as simple as saying something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm like everyone else. I can't make it through life on my own. I'm imperfect. I am sinful in nature. I'm prone to sin. I have come to realize that there's nothing in the world I can do to make myself acceptable to you, Lord. But I know that you have loved me so much that you are willing to submit to the cross and die on my behalf. That's a grace so amazing that, Lord, I cannot even understand it. I can only accept it, and I do, Lord. I accept your free gift, and I know that from this moment on that I am saved and I am a child of God, and you are my Father in heaven. and I give the rest of my life to serving you and experiencing the joy that only you can offer. Fill me now, dear Lord, and raise me to walk in the newness of life. I thank you for this free gift, Lord, and I praise you for all that you have done. And for anyone that may do that in the future or who has done that, you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And the road ahead will still be full of life-changing experiences. We will continue to grow in knowledge and understanding of the Bible as you walk through your Christian life with God. But He is the essential for your spiritual growth. Having Jesus Christ in your life does not mean that you will never have a problem in your life. But the Lord did tell us that when we do have problems, that He will be here with us to help us through those. I would like to welcome, I believe she is in here, my mother-in-law, Joyce Crystal. And it seems like I have some family members in here this evening, and that's a real blessing, I must say. To see some of them. It's great to see some of my family in the chat room. I never expected that. What a blessing it is to see those along with my other friends. And Chrissy says, hi, Ma. You know, some of the things we can do and we should do as we have become a new creation in Jesus Christ, when you give your life over to Jesus Christ, because we all need to do that. But being baptized is a must. It is an identification, really, of the washing away of one's old self and being able to be renewed in Christ. And Christ Himself was baptized, and it is one of the few times that I know of, although there may be other times, but I know that one for sure, where all three of the Trinity were there, was at Christ's baptism. God was there and spoke, and Jesus was there in the flesh, and a dove in representation of the Holy Spirit landed on Christ's shoulder. And there may be some other times, but I do know of that one for sure. One of the things that we should all be doing on a daily basis also is taking the time to read and study your Bible, because what you will learn in your Bible is far more important than what you will learn from your local newspaper. What is it that you will gain from your local newspaper? Will you gain 5 or 10 years? Will you gain 15? When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift that He gives you is eternal, eternal life. Studying the Bible can only help you to grow in God's Word. Sharing your faith with others. And I started out my show this evening talking about how I used to talk about politics and global economics and you name it. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not the focus, and he needs to be. Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior needs to be the number one priority in your life. And this is the problem with many, many people out there that claim to be Christians. They may claim to be Christians, they may claim to be saved, but they do nothing to put Christ first in their life. And let me assure you that when your number is called, there is least and greatest in heaven with God. And I do not do this because I want to be the greatest with God. I do this because God has done so much for me in my life. And I love him so much for him, for doing what he has done. You know, becoming part of a local church is something else that you can do. And I would recommend that you find a church that is a Bible teaching church that teaches the Word of God from the Bible. Because there are many out there that teach and have changed God's Word, and they do what they want to do more than they choose to do what God would love them to do. So please, if you are part of a church, make sure that it is a Spirit-filled, God-teaching, Bible-teaching church. Fellowship with other Christians. And again, I have to thank my Lord and Savior. This is, I got to stop there for a second because my friend Rod, who is on the elderly side, needs to get up and walk around and take a break, and he will probably be leaving us for the evening. Rod, thank you so much for spending the last hour with me. Many blessings to you, my brother. Take care. One of my regular listeners there, Rod. Fellowship with other Christians is essential. I can't tell you how spiritually uplifting. Did I say elderly? I guess I used mature. There we go, mature. That's a better word, Rod. sorry about that. Mature, yes. Definitely you are. My brother in Christ, you take care, and many blessings to you. Hope to see you next week, sir. Fellowship with other Christians is something that I do on the internet. I do it here. I do it on several sites on the internet, but I only do it with ones that have Christians that are Spirit-filled Christians, God-loving Christians that speak and teach from God's Word, the Bible. You know, God has a prayer out there, and I know everyone that is in my chat room has heard of this. It is called the Lord's Prayer, and I'm just going to break it down a little bit because God does not necessarily want us to be repetition. God wants us, when we pray, to tell him what is in our heart, what is in our mind. And you never have to be afraid to ask God for something, but when I pray to God, I always praise his name and thank him for who he is and for what he has done for me. But you can ask God for things. That doesn't mean that he will give them to you, because it is his will when those things may be done. But getting back to the Lord's prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the word hallowed there can actually be referred to as something else. And the word hallowed means worthy of praise. So worthy of praise is your name, Father, and your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that day will come, and I don't think it's too far away. We've got about 12 minutes left to the show. And good night, Joyce. Take care and God bless. And yes, I will tell Sandy that you love her. She's sitting here next to me. I want to remind everybody out there who is a born-again Christian to please take the time to pray daily to God, to praise him for who he is and for what he has done for us. And it's vitally important that we do that in our life. If you want to have a strong relationship with Christ, prayer is the way that we do that. Hugh, I'm going to get ready to close this out. If you'd like a minute to make a comment, you may do that, sir.
I thank you very much for the time you extended with your family tonight, and I would like to just say that my partner's wife is also a psychologist with a doctorate in theology, and she does a beautiful blog talk Bible-based show on Saturday mornings at 10:30 Eastern Time, and it's called Love of the King Ministry. I believe the website is loveofthekingministry.com. She started it for shut-ins and caretakers of shut-ins, and it's just caught on, and it's very, very beautifully done.
That sounds like a great show. I'll have to stop in there and see that. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Hugh.
Well, thank you, and God bless you for all your work, and everyone, just let go and let God, and just have the faith, and we're here to do God's will, not ours.
You are absolutely correct. Take care, my brother, and God bless. That was Hugh, who spent the last hour and 20 minutes with us. As everyone knows, I love my music, and so even though I have 9 minutes left, I'm going to spend 6 minutes of that playing a little music, and then I'll close out this show. This first one is about the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and if you listen to the words, this is what the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is really all about. So please enjoy this, and we'll go on to one more song. This first one's only a minute long, and then we will go on to our final song and close. So please enjoy this 1 minute song.
The secret streams that flow beneath the cliffs of colored stone, the forest thick and healthy with birch and pine and oak, surrounded by the greatest lake this world has ever known, the black bear's awesome presence as he roams the hills and fields, the call of the timber wolf, the loon's lonesome trill, the eagle soaring high above, the trout lies deep and still. These are what I treasure, the only way I measure the feelings that I have for this fine land.
Yes, the great Upper Peninsula of Michigan. What a great place to live. We get the snow, we get the cold, we get it all. We get the love of Christ. We get everything that we need in sufficiency up here. It's an incredible, incredible place. If you're in our chat room and you go up to the top of the page, we have a great deal of very, very beautiful pictures of different types of animals that are here in the Upper Peninsula. And we have another song here. Which I am going to play right now. I'm reading in my chat room there. So here we go, and then I will be back after this song to close out our program.